a visit to EAA Chapter 46 at Camp Scholar, and a word with the CEO of Flight Design. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I'm here today with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, only instead of being on the phone as we often are, I'm here live in Camp Scholar at EAA Air Venture, Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Bob, you just flew the Cessna in recently?
Just about an hour and a half ago, Paul, and this is, for us, it's probably the most exciting day of the aviation year for us, coming out to Oshkosh like this.
As I say, I'm almost amazed at how many busy people find a way to make time in their schedules every year to come to Oshkosh, and you are one of the busier people I know. How do you manage that?
Well, we just carve it out of the calendar. EAA is kind enough to publish the schedule for the next several years, 5 or 6 years, and we put it into the schedule, and then nothing interrupts it. Family, friends, business, personal, whatever, we make time for Oshkosh.
All right, now, we talked a few days ago about the preparations that go into flying into Oshkosh when the event's going on. How did that experience go for you this year?
Well, each year gets easier because repetition is the price of learning, of course, and we've been doing this for 10 or 12 years now. But as always, we review the NOTAM several days out to be sure that there's no significant changes, or if they are, we make note of them. We check the weather, be sure that the weather is operating in our favor. Then if we're flying in IFR, which we almost always do, it's a little easier, I find, just coming in on an instrument flight plan. We have to be sure to obtain an IFR reservation for Whitman Field at least within 72 hours of the event. And that's usually all it takes.
Now, it looks to me as though, and I talked to Dick Nipinski about this a little earlier, it looks to me as though people have been making room in their budgets by maybe skipping some regional events to come here, because unlike the attendance trend at some of the smaller events, this one, it looks to me, is thriving just as much as it has before gas went up so high.
I usually gauge by the number of aircraft in the aircraft camping area around runway 927. And as we flew in this morning now, this is Sunday, the 27th. It looked like that area was almost filled. It was not that way last year. It gives the impression that this is a better attendance, at least at this point in the event, than I've seen in recent years. But I'm sure those numbers can be verified.
Talking today with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, which Bob, as busy as you are, is going to take a slightly different form this month.
Well, this form is a complete omission, and since I don't have to report to a publisher or a board of directors, I am the publisher and board of directors, if you will, time just ran away from us. We're running a flight school that's just going like a bumper crop, and we're very grateful for that. Just a lot of things going on, and there's no shortage of aviation activities, as you mentioned. We get to the regional shows, but this one is the best ever, and this is the one we like to come to.
Now, I know that if you want to talk to any manufacturer or meet up with any group or any type club, Oshkosh is pretty much the place to do it. What specifically do you look forward to most coming here?
I look forward to the forums. I really do. I think proficiency and recurrent training is really the most important thing that we can do as pilots. That's number one. I'll look through the forum schedule, see who's talking on what subject, be sure to attend those. And then I go into the vendor exhibit areas to look at the new technology. That's probably the second thing we can do to enhance safety is to be sure we have all of the technology on board our aircraft that we can possibly afford, from GPS to weather detection equipment, whatever else is out there. I think that's important. So for me, this is a part of our business, and our business is flight safety. So being here is all part and parcel to that.
Is there anything in particular you're looking for, any particular new toy or development that you're going to be looking at?
Not really. I think following the trades and the magazines, but we're always surprised. There's always something out here. I think for me, one of the best parts is this grouping that you see right here. We have some 70 or 80 people that drove out, or however they got here from our local EAA Chapter 46. Jim Cavanaugh comes out and sets up a tenting camping area a full week ahead of the event. So for me, it's a lot of socialization and, frankly, a lot of very good hangar talk.
Bob, you've been doing this for a while now, and this is one of the more ambitious campsites we see in Camp Scholar every year. How did it get started? Who had the idea to come en masse and reserve space ahead of time?
I have no idea how it got started. I'm a relatively newcomer to EA, 5-6 years with a local chapter. But as I said earlier, Jim Cavanaugh comes out. He comes out a week ahead of time. He collects camping fees from all of us who want a site several weeks ahead of him coming out. He goes and arranges, pays the fee, and then tents out or lines out all of the sites. We have, 28, 30 sites this year, and each site will have anywhere from 1 to 5 or 8 people in the site. The nice part of it is we have 2 couples that also prepare all of our breakfasts and all of our dinners under a big party tent, so that the logistics of camping is made very much simpler by camping in this fashion. I should say that for the period before camping with EAA 46, I camped under the wing like many or most of the aircraft campers, and that's a great deal, and that offers a great deal of excitement as well. You're out there right alongside of the flight line, the landing runways, and you get to see a lot of activity there. But there you're preparing your own, you're bringing your grill and you're bringing all of the ice chests and things like that. This is what I call more gentlemanly like camping.
How do you handle not getting overloaded on the camping experience? Let me put it that way. Do you guys have showers that you share? Does everybody just put up with it? How does that work?
No, the Camp Scholler is an ideal campsite. It has a fully equipped, fully stocked grocery store. It has lots of showering areas, has lots of places that we can plug in our electronic equipment that now has become a fact of life with most of us, cell phones, iPods, things like that. But you don't have to be a camper to enjoy this experience. It's a time when we let our hair down. I find it's a little more security oriented. I recall being out under the wing of an airplane that had 100 gallons of aviation octane, high octane fuel above our head in a very lively thunderstorm, and I must say that my imagination went wild with that, thinking of lightning hitting the wing and me under the wing. And but over here, we tough it out. Oshkosh is noted for extremes in weather, whether it's hot weather, cold weather. We know it's going to rain. We just make preparation for it and frankly, enjoy the experience.
Well, Bob, it's been great to talk to you about roughing it here. I know that you have to go run and put some fuel in the generator to keep the refrigerator going on the color TV. We'll look forward to catching up with you again maybe sometime later this week and see how things are going here at Camp Scholler.
Well, I hope we can do that, Paul. Thank you very much.
In a moment, I'll be back from AirVenture with Flight Design CEO Matthias Betch. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News.
An easy flight is a safe flight. That's why L3 Avionics Systems designed the most advanced glass cockpit system available to be intuitive and easy to use. The SmartDeck integrated flight controls and display system shows you what you need to know when you need to know it. And with the new addition of the ultimate synthetic vision, SmartDeck shows you even more. With SmartDeck, interaction between pilot and aircraft is fluid, and advanced technology puts you in control with an extra layer of safety. Fly SmartDeck to get the ultimate glass cockpit experience at AirVenture or visit smartdeck.com.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft headsets merge the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio into one streamlined design. Clarity Aloft has a noise-canceling microphone optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments like cockpits. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Hear the difference a Clarity Aloft headset can make on your very next flight. Find out how. Call us at 612-747-3197 or check us out on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature, and welcome back to Oshkosh. I'm Paul Plack. One of the public unveilings on the schedule today here at EAA AirVenture is the new Flight Design MC for Metal Concept. We got an advanced look at the plane yesterday. The MC is based on a steel tube space frame for cockpit protection, a composite cowl for more flexibility in aerodynamic design, and riveted aluminum elsewhere. The cockpit interior is 53 inches wide and has a ton of headroom. It almost feels like you're sitting in a helicopter bubble because of its shape. The company's composite LSAs are highly regarded and have sold well. So why the move into metal? I got a few minutes with Flight Design CEO Matthias Betch, who in partnership with Flight Design USA's Tom Pagini, developed this plane for the flight school market in the U.S.
Because it's just people which like different materials. And I mean, every material has his advantages, yeah? And I don't want to argue with the customer. I mean, if you say, I want to have a metal airplane, I don't want to convince you that composite is better, because composite for some purposes is better, and metal for some purposes is better. And that's why we say, to complete the range, we have to have both. We have to have a composite airplane, and we have to have a metal airplane.
Well, some people would say you'd have to have high wing and low wing, too.
No, because you see, I mean, that you have to earn your competence, yeah? And competence is a question out of experience, and I think we have a competence in high-wing airplanes, yeah? So, and we want to continue our competence in high-wing airplanes, yeah? And that's what we do with a metal airplane now. If we would have done a low-wing airplane, that would be a total new area, yeah? Which I don't think we want to do at the moment, because we want to further develop to be on the top of the high-wing airplanes.
Let me ask you about the training environment, because one of the things that I've heard some people say about composite, their concerns about a composite light sport aircraft in the training world, is that the normal everyday scuffs and bumps that they get are a little tougher to repair in the field. Was that thought anywhere in the back of mind in developing this plane?
I don't think that it's really more difficult to repair a composite airplane than a metal airplane. The problem is you need the people for doing it. And I think most of the flight school have available repair centers for metal airplanes, because they exist widely and they don't have available for composite airplanes. So for them it's more difficult, but it's not because of the material, it's because of the availability of the people with the needed education. So in the moment, yes, for sure, that will make more flight school thinking in metal than in composite, yeah? But it's not the material, it's just how the people are trained. So in Germany, I think it's more easy, or even as easy to get a composite airplane repaired than a metal airplane. Yeah?
All right. Looking ahead to the future, do you think the industry will eventually move away from metal airplanes? Are there enough advantages to composite that they'll ever completely replace metal?
Look at the car industry. Does metal move away?
Yeah.
No, I think it will not move away. There is as long as the prices don't move totally away. I mean, we still have the situation that composites are a lot more expensive than metal. When maybe tomorrow metal will be more expensive than composite, then it may be a reason to go more in the composite direction than the metal direction. But at the moment, I still think there is a future for both, as long as I can see it in time frame.
All right, well, very good. I overheard you saying a couple moments ago that even your dealer network had not seen this aircraft yet. Are they going to get a chance to get their hands on it here at this event?
They will have no chance to fly, because that's too difficult. But they will get the hands out. So it was the first time they can see it. We want to deliver to the market ready products, because for us it's too many people which show projects, which then maybe or maybe not will be in the market. And we in general like to show a product when the product is ready. But that means you have to keep the information close. So what we have done, or what we do in this aircraft, we work very close with some, let's say, launch customers, some very, let's say, engaged customers, where we know there's a lot of competence. So the full project from the very beginning was done together with Tom Pechini from the first moment. So he was in the planning of the project. He was a couple of times in a factory in Ukraine. We used a friend of him, Dennis Franklin, for teaching our people or helping our people with the metal as new as new technology, as new material. So Tom was involved from the beginning, and he did know the airplane. But that's the only one in the U.S., except of Dennis, who has been also in Ukraine, who knows the airplane.
Well, the company, you bring that up, the company is really an interesting putting together of expertise from both sides of the ocean.
Yes.
How has your relationship been with Tom? I mean, has he opened a very large door for you?
I think for sure. I mean, Tom at the end is responsible for the U.S. market. I mean, he's responsible for the success in the U.S. market. And that's because his personality, his technical experience. And I think it's because of our friendship, how we work together, because that makes the thing working.
Well, Matthias, we want to thank you very much for taking a few minutes out to talk to us today, and good luck with the aircraft.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Get more detail on all the news from Oshkosh in text and photos at aero-news.net. Also, check for our daily roundups on aero-tv.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.